have a chiddush, which I wanted to share with you. But it's not my chiddush. It's the Ramban's chiddush. I'm just trying to sell it to you. But it's really the Ramban's chiddush. And I think it's a tremendous chiddush. And that's something that too many people are aware of, that the Ramban said it. Because it's in a strange location. And everything depends on location, because the topic that the Ramban is discussing, in a sense, is not part and parcel of that parsha, and in a way it's almost coincidental. But as coincidental as it is, it's critical to the parsha of Truma. But before we begin with this Ramban, which happens to be in Perek Tes Zayin in Parshas Korach, I wanted to discuss the Rambam's Shita, which is which pasuk exactly tells me to build a Beis HaMikdash. So if you open up the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, the very first words of the Rambam in the Chelek of the Yad HaChazaka that deals with Kodshim, Sefer Avoda, Hilchos Beis HaBchira, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. So the Rambam says there's a mitzvah to build a bayis muchon Hashem makrivim bo karbonos v'chogigim elav shalosh pa'amim basham. Shenehmar v'osu li mikdosh v'shachanti v'sochon. The Rambam's point of a bayis is derived the mitzvah saseh, the commandment to build a base hamikdosh is v'osu li mikdosh v'shachanti v'sochon. Some mafarshim explain, not necessarily in the context of the Rambam, but in general, that since the pasuk does not say v'asu li mishkan, it includes not only the mishkan of the midbar, but all of the batei mikdash that will subsequently be built. This is all under the same mitzvah saseh that is mentioned first by the mishkan. In fact, the Rambam, as if to corroborate his point, begins on a historical journey right afterwards, and he describes how first the Mishkan that Moshe Rabbeinu built is described in the Torah. And then when they came into Eretz Yisrael for the years of Kibush V'chiluk, for 14 years, they were in Gilgal. And from Gilgal they established a Mishkan in Shiloh, which was Shin Samach Tes years. Hundreds of years they were in Shiloh. And then they went to Noiv Givayim, and finally David HaMelech bought the place where the Beis HaMikdash is eventually going to be, in the Goyrin of Aravna HaYavusi in Yerushalayim, Bank Safe of Shochen. And that is where the Beis HaMikdash was built, Al Yedei David Ushlomo. So it's called Al Yedei David because it was his idea, Anoichi Yoshev Beveis Arozim V'Aroin Bis Hashem B'Saycha Yiriya. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Atol oisivne habayis lishmi, ki im bincha ayotze mechalotzecha, hu yivne habayis lishmi. But it's called the Bayis Shabana because David HaMelech's machshava, David HaMelech bought the place, David HaMelech gathered the monies for it, fundraising is three quarters of the malocha anyhow, so he got a chelek of, it's called the Bayis Shabana, David Ushlom. But the actual binyan, as everybody knows, was done by Shlomo HaMelech. And then the Rambam says, and so the Bayis Sheni and the Bayis Shlishi that's described in Sefer Yecheskel, the Rambam is clearly trying to give us not a history lesson about the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't do that in the Yad HaChazaka unless it's necessary. Why is it necessary? Because the Va'osuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham has many different manifestations. Each one is a kiyum of Va'osuli Mikdash, starting with the Mishkan and ending with the Bayis Shlishi. This is all one part and parcel of the chiyuv of Asuli Mikdash V'Shachanti V'Socham. When the Rambam gets to Hilchos Melachim, the Rambam is going to be speaking about what is a melech. And the Rambam, interestingly enough, does not begin mitzvahs asei limnois lohem melech shenemar soim tosim alecha melech. Instead, the Rambam sees fit to begin Hilchos Melachim with the following words. Al shalosh mitzvahs nitzdavu Yisrael b'knisasam la'aretz. Limnois lohem melech v'limchay zara shalamolek v'livnois beis oylamim. what is the mitzvah to build a Beis Olamim? So the Rambam says a different pasuk. I mean, before we discuss that different pasuk, the Rambam says also that there's a Seder Ladvarim, which is a very critical point to my discussion of the Ramban in a moment. There's a Seder Hadvarim. What is the Seder Hadvarim? The Seder Hadvarim is that first you have to appoint a Melech. And that's, of course, the Pasuk, Saim Tasim Alachama. Then, through the Melech, you have to be Meichah Zayra Shalom Olam. He says, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka. First, there has to be a Kisei, a Malchus. And then there has to be Melcham Al Hashem Bamolim. And finally, Beis HaBechira. Why does Beis HaBechira's Binyan dafka come after Mechias HaMolech? So the Rambam says, because it says by David HaMelech, when Hashem was meniach loy mikol oivav misaviv, then David HaMelech said, Anoichi Yoshe beveis harozim, and that was the beginning of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. So you see that it had to be b'haniach mikol oivav misaviv. Now the question, of course, is, it doesn't say there, v'hoya kasher mocha shol es HaMolech. So what exactly does it mean, and what exactly is being derived by this pasuk? So I think the answer is very simple, before I say what I'm about to say. Maybe, alpi Kabbalah, there is an inyan of destroying HaMolech before building the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not saying that. But kipshutai, there's no pasuk that links the two specifically together to say that without the destruction of HaMolech, you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. So if that's the case, why can't you build the Beis HaMikdash before Mechias HaMolech? The answer is Pashat. There are two concepts in the notion of B'haniach Loi Mikol Oivav Misaviv. One of them is that you have an enemy at the gate. You have in Sefer Shoftim over and over again, the Knani and the others, they were constantly, the Plishtim, they were tormenting B'nai Yisrael. They were always challenging them, they were always capturing them and raping them and pillaging them and plundering them and enslaving them. And there was one struggle after another. And finally, that comes to an end. That's one kind of B'haniach Mikol Oivav Misaviv. But there's another kind of B'haniach Mikol Oivav Misaviv, namely, that as long as I have an obligation to destroy the Shiva Amamim, as long as I have an obligation to destroy HaMolech specifically and separately, even if they're not bothering me at the moment, but because I have that tzav, it's not yet v'haniach mikol oivav misaviv. Because I still am forced, never mind it's a mechemes mitzvah, but I am forced to engage in battle. And if I'm forced to engage in battle, the king doesn't sit in a beis harozim because he's in a camp somewhere under a tent, leading his troops in battle. And that's not called b'haniach. So the pshat of the Seder HaDvarim is, until this Mechias HaMolech, there could be the most perfect peace and tranquility you could imagine. Like it says by Shoftim in Shiras Dvoira, Vatishkoi Ta'aretz Arboim Shona. The Farshim say that that's not part of the Shira, that's like an addendum to the Shira. The end of the Shira is, Kein Yoivdu Kol Eivecha Hashem, V'oihavov Ketzeis Hashemesh Begvuraso. But appended to this is that the Hatzlocha of Dvora, Baruch Ben Avinoam, was the years of tranquility. So you'll say at that moment, for example, it's B'haniach Mikol Oivav Misaviv. They'll say, no, there's still the Plishtim, they're going to be your enemy, etc. That's true. But even if it wasn't true, and even if the Plishtim capitulated, it would still be true that it's not B'haniach. Why not? Because now they have to engage in a Melchama B'dafka. They have to go out to do Melchama, and that's also not B'haniach. So B'haniach doesn't just mean you're powerful, or you're successful, or it's tranquil right now, because nobody's bothering you. B'haniach means there's no melchama on the horizon. No melchama of any kind on the horizon. So when did that first happen? By David HaMelech. That also, by the way, explains that there isn't something specific about Mechias HaMolech, why there could be a vestige of HaMolech, and Afal Pi Kein, there is no problem of building the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's not the mitzius of an Amaleki, it's whether there's going to be a war against Amalek. And there's no war against Amalek if a stray Amalek survives, because the war against Amalek has already taken place. So in Mechias HaMolech, you might have a chiyuv to kill each Amaleki too. But that is not a communal chiyuv, perhaps. It might be a chiyuv on a yochid. And in any case, it's not a mocham. It's not a mocham. So bohaniach is satisfied. In other words, what I'm saying to you is, it's conceivable that the mitzvah of mechiyas hamolek is not yet completely finished, but yet bohaniach has been achieved. Because there's no requirement of mochama right now. You don't have to mass your armies and your troops and go into a waging a battle if some individual amaleki here and there has survived Shaul's mochama against Agag. So you could end up with a Haman or whoever. Mibnei Bon of Shal Haman are still around. And Afal Pi came. Mechias Amalek might be, but there is no Milchemes Amalek. So that's called B'haniach already in the time of David and Shlomo, and then they were able to build a Beis HaMikdash. Just to read to you the very words of the Rambam, because there's one pasuk that I left out. Now, when you have psukim in the Rambam, as I've mentioned many times, the beginnings and the ends of the psukim that are quoted might themselves be critical to the point of the Rambam. Hagam, that they were not printed, and hagam, they weren't even written by the scribes when it was still b'ksav yad before printing. And that's because they just felt it's enough to be meramez to the pasuk. But it does us sometimes a great disservice, because you get the impression that whatever you need to know are in the words that are in front of you. And that might not be the case. It might be the words before, the words after, maybe even a pasuk before or after. And the point that I'm about to make, you'll see in a moment. But you should bear that in mind even as you hear these words. Now, the Rambam at the beginning, as I told you, Hilchos Malachim, is very easy to find too. And Malachim is the last set of halachas in the Yad HaChazaka and Sefer Shoftim. And this is Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph and Beis. So the Rambam says the following words. Shalosh mitzvahs nitztav Yisro b'shas knisotzen l'oretz limnois nehem melech shenem asayim tosim alecha melech v'lahach rizaro shal ha-molek shenem atimcha ezdecha ha-molek v'livnois beis ha-bchira shenemar. Now what would we expect if the Rambam is consistent with himself in Hilchos Beis HaBchira? And he says, V'livnois Beis HaBchira. What would we expect? V'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Instead, and the Lecha Mishnah pounces upon this, because it's a very obvious question. You don't need to be the Lecha Mishnah for this question. I mean, the Rambam says, Shenemar l'shichno sidrishu uvasa shama. The Shichno Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. A pasuk, of course, in Parshas Re'eh, towards the very beginning of Re'eh. It's before Sheni. So the Lecha Mishnah says, Koshe, the Behilchos Beis HaBchira Perek Aleph, Kosav Rabbeinu, Mitzvahs Asei Lasos Bayis Lashem V'chulu, Shenemar V'osuli Mikdosh. The Lecha Mishnah answers what he answers, doik v'tishkach. You know, you'll find it. If you look at it, you'll learn it on your own. I wanted to suggest a different teretz, and I wanted to suggest that this teretz, I think, answers the question very, very successfully. Why is it that the Rambam brought another pasuk? The Shichnai Sidrashu Vasa Shama is not the mitzvah's assay of building a Beis HaMikdash. The mitzvah's assay is, in fact, what the Rambam quotes in Beis HaBchira. If you ask someone, where does it say befurish in the Torah that you must build a Beis HaMikdash? The answer is, for v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'soch. However, the Rambam here is not of an agenda that there's a mitzvah to build a Beis HaBchira. Because the mitzvah to build a Beis HaBchira, the Rambam has already discussed the Iyun God Bahachava in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. What is the point now of mentioning in Hilchos Malachim that you have to build a Beis HaMikdash? Because the Rambam wants to emphasize a point, and that is that even though the mitzvah began in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the conditions for the bias, mind you, the bias called the Beis HaBchira and the Beis Olamim. Beis HaBchira has a reason why it's called Beis HaBchira. It isn't just a word or a phrase. It is the bias on the place which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen. The Mishkan was never in a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen that's permanent. The Ribbon Shel Olam never said about any place other than Yerushalayim, and in that part of Yerushalayim called Har HaBayis. Zois menuchasi ade ad po eshev ki ivisiha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said, I wanted this place, I chose this place. So the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses is a unique prat in the mitzvah of for Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Because the Mikdash that Moshe Rabbeinu made was also a very full kiyum of Asuli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. But yet, it was permissible in any place. In fact, it went with them. So wherever they were, that's where they had to take apart the Mishkan to travel and put together the Mishkan when they arrived. So that is the whole of Sefer Bamidbar, really, to describe how this was done and how they would take apart the Mishkan, who was responsible for it in the Shevet Levi and the Kohanim. So we would imagine that that kind of fulfillment maybe go on forever. Wherever you are, find yourself a place. Whoever the Shekhinah says this is the place temporarily, that's where you'll be. So the answer is that it's correct, up to a point. In fact, there was one place where they were there for a very long time, much more than the 40 years in the desert. And Afal Pi Kein, that wasn't the ultimate place, and that's called Shiloh. And in fact, the Pasuk says, Ki lo basem ad ota el ha-menucha ve-el ha-nachala. So the Gemara says in Zvachim, el ha-menucha is Shiloh, and the Nachla is Beis Olamim. Menucha is a resting place, because they're there for a very long time. And not only that, Shiloh had simonim, if you will, that even though it was a temporary dwelling, it was a temporary dwelling for a very long time. What were those simonim? Rambam in Beis HaBchira already, in that very beginning, which I paraphrase to you, when he speaks about Shiloh, he says they were there for a very long time. But he also describes the binyan of Shiloh, that it was a bayis of avonim, but they spread the yiriyos of the Mishkan on top, v'loi hayo sham tikra. It had no roof. It was a bayis, almost, but it had no roof. Because it is not nachala, it's menucha. So it's more than a Mishkan, and there's a certain quasi-permanence in what's called Menucha Zushilo, but yet it is not yet the place. So the place has a very major requirement that it has to be in a certain location, but it has another major requirement. What is that requirement? That requirement is that you have to have first a Melech, and you have to have also of Mechias Amalek. When the Rambam says the Shichno Sidrishu Uvasa Shama, the Rambam is quoting a pasuk which is providing you with a unique prat in the composite history of the Asuli Mikdosh Veshachanti Besocha. It's as if the Rambam was saying Shenemar Vasuli Mikdosh Veshachanti Besocha Sheata Sarich livnos bayis, v'habayis sarich lios b'makom mesuyam, v'al yedei melech shehashem hiniach lo mikol oivov misaviv. Now, I want to point out something very nice to you from the Aderes Eliyahu of the Vilna Gaon. He comments that if you look at the psukim in Parshas Re'eh, where it says l'shichno sidrishu, you'll notice an interesting sequence. Because at the beginning, when the parasha begins with this topic, so it says as follows: Minitatzdem es mizbechosam, etc. Lo sasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem, ki im el hamakom asher yifchar Hashem Elokeichem mikol shifteichem lasum eshmo sham l'shichno sidrushu v'asa shama. So the Rambam has quoted this pasuk. So the pasuk says here earlier, Eila chukim v'mishpatim asher tishmon lasos ba'aretz asher nasan Hashem Elokei v'asech aloch l'rishta. Etc., etc. And then it says, so it says further, so Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch Ba'avartem Es Hayarden Vishaftem Ba'aretz Asher Hashem Elokechem Manchil Eschem Veheiniach Lochem Mikol Oyveichem Misaviv Vishaftem Betach V'hoyo Hamokoy Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokechem Bo L'shaken Shmo Shom Shomo Taviyu Es Asher Nochi Mitzav Eschem. You know what the Gaon is saying? And I think what the Rambam meant as well, that the Shichno Sidrashu Vasa Shama is the beginning of this tale. It's the he means the parsha of Re'eh, in which is found the words L'Shichno Sidrashu. It's almost like a topic heading, not that we should look for everything in those several words, four words L'Shichno Sidrashu Vasa Shama. Because what does it say? It says in the parsha Beferish that when Hashem is Meiniach Lecha Mikol Oyvecha, that's going to be the Mokom Asher Yivcha Hashem, that you have to be Makriv Karbonos there, and there's no Heter Abomas anymore. It is the one and only place. So that idea of Beis HaBechira is totally contingent upon another idea, namely, Vayniach Mikol Oyvecha Misaviv. And since, as I told you before, there cannot be a definition of V'hoyo Baniach Mikol Oyvecha without all the Milchamos being finished, which requires Memela that you should have finished the Milchama with Amalek already, and Milchama of Amalek requires Melech, so Memela, the sequence is built into Beis HaBechira. Because Beis HaBechira needs no more Milchama, no more Milchama needs Mechias Amalek, Mechias Amalek needs Melech. Therefore, you have to start with Melech, Mechias Amalek, Beis HaBechira. Which brings us to a very simple conclusion, that the Rambam's mitzvah saseh remains, Vasuli Mikdosh V'Shachanti B'Solcha, and the Rambam's use of L'Shichno Sidrashu is the overarching parsha which defines the Seder HaDvarim and requires Bohaniach L'Cha Mikol Oyvecha. Which is why the Rambam is allowed to say the following: Minui Melech Kodem L'Milchemes Amalek, Shenema Osi Sholach Hashem L'Mishrach HaChol Melech, Ata Leich V'Hikisa Es Amalek. Shmuel HaRamasi is telling Shaul that Ata, now go ahead. What is the Ata? What's the Mayin Shmita Etzlar Sinai? Hashem anointed you to be Melech. Now, as if to say, therefore, go and fight Amalek. The answer is because without a Melech, you can't fight Amalek. So Ata, I'm not a Melech. Because when I am the Navi and I am the leader, Hashem Elokeichem Malkechem. So it's not yet Minui Melech. Even Yoshua that had a din of Melech is not yet Minui Melech. So Minui Melech with the show, Yoshua is Melech because he's Bimkayim Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu is, all the authorities are in Moshe Rabbeinu. Even for a while, he was the Kohen Gadol, but Hishmonas Yimei HaMiluim. But Moshe Rabbeinu is Melech. It says, Vahi Bishur in Melech. One of the interpretations, of course, it's not the interpretation of Malchiyos, because the Malchiyos, they quote the Pasuk Vahi Bishur and Melech, and they mean the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course. But there's another Pshat of Vahi Bishur and Melech that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu Melech Hoya. So whatever it is, Moshe Rabbeinu's Malchus was transferred because Yoshua is B'mekoymoi Shel Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's a different kind of Melech. It's a Melech that, you know, you might say Hashem chose. But the people did not make him Melech. Hashem chose him. Hashem said, go ahead, kachas Yoshua, ish asher ruach bo, etc. In the minui of the first real melech, there is now the opportunity, and that's the word atah with an ayin, atah leich v'hikisa, now is for first time the opportunity to destroy Amalek, to fight Amalek. So that's the Rambam's explanation of why minui melech is kodem l'mechias zaro shel Amalek. Mechemes Amalek. V'achrosa zera Amalek kodemes lebinyan habayis. Shenemar. V'hi ki yoshav ha-melech bebeis psoi v'ashem iniach loy misoviv mikol oivov v'yomeh ha-melech al-nosan ha-novi anoich yoshav bebeis ha-rozim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is besoich ha-yiriya. Me'achar she'akomas melech mitzvah lomo loy rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shushol melech mishmuel is already Hilchus Malachim. Now he gets back on the track of Hilchus Malachim. The whole point was to show that Shaul had a din melech. That was the whole Torah here, was to show that Shaul had a real din melech, unlike his predecessors, who led Bnei Yisrael. So the first melech is Shaul, so what's wrong with asking for a melech if it says, Som Tosim Alecha Melech, etc.? So the Rambam goes into that whole topic and how Shaul's Malchus and David's Malchus can relate to one another. But for our purposes, the Rambam is now closed. He has made his point, and it's the Shichno Sidrashu, Vamokom Asher Yivcha Hashem, Veiniach Lecha Mikol Avecha Misaviv, etc. Shama Taviv. What does it tell me? What does this tell me? Explicitly. That the Chiyuv of V'asuli Mikdosh has many different manifestations, and of course, to place the Aron and build the structures and to be Makriv Karbonos, you have structures before Beis HaMikdosh of David and Shlomo, many structures and many centuries. However, there's a fundamental difference between the two. Beis Olamim, the binyan that is a whole permanent, full-fledged bias from roof to foundation, as it were, that is only the Beis Olamim in Yerushalayim in David and Shlomo's time. Before that, it cannot be built because that building and the place where it should be built are toli zeh bazeh and must follow a sequence of melech, which first, for the first time, is Shaul, and Mechias HaMolech, and that puts you right into the lap of David and Shlomo. Correct? So if someone would come and suggest to you that there was any avla done by Bnei Yisrael in the fact that they did not build the Beis HaMikdosh right away when they came into Eretz Yisrael, you would challenge them on two fronts. Number one, they don't even know where the Beis HaMikdosh is. Number two, they can't do it until the sequence is achieved, and the sequence is in Hashem's good time, as it were. So what kind of kepeda could you possibly have? Listen to this Ramban. The Ramban has, I don't know if you can call it an arichus dvarim. You know, how do you measure those kind of things? What is an arichus dvarim? But the Ramban certainly allows himself the full rein to make his point. And let me read to you the lashon of the Ramban inside. The Ramban says that in the time, he's talking about the Magefa, right? He bodlu mitocha eda hazos v'achala osam karoga by the machlokes of Korach v'adoso against Moshe and Aaron, against Hashem, really. So he wants to know, yesh lishoel, this is how he begins. And we are not involved in that so much, because I want to zero in on the last point that he makes, which is nogea to us. But his question that starts the entire discussion of this reasonably ample Ramban is Yesh Lishol im Yisrael loy chotu v'loy mardu berabam lama hoya haketzef aleihem leimar v'achale osam kiroga v'im gam heim mardu kikorach v'chadoso eich yomu Moshe v'aron ha'ish echad yechata v'al kol ha'eda tiktsof. So the interpretation of Ibadlu Mitocha Eda means Klal Yisrael. And that's why the next Pasuk, Vayiplu, Al Pneihem Moshe and Aaron, prostrate themselves, Vayomru Keil, Eloikei Aruchos L'chol Basar, Ha'ish Echad Yechotav Al Kol Ha'eda Tiktzav. So he wants to know what's going on. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intention is against people who are really guilty, so what's Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron's taina? And if they're not guilty, why is there a magefa threatening them? This is his kasha. And he quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, who says that Hibadl Mitocha Eda is not referring to Klal Yisrael. They were never threatened. Who is the Eda that we're talking about? Because the pasuk is unclear. It's not specific. So the Eda that he's talking about is Adas Korach. And apparently Adas Korach schlepped along many innocents who were misled or fooled or whatever, but they had no kavana to rebel against Moshe and Aaron. So he says, because of Rabbeinu Chananel, he brought him to Eda Azos, Adas Korach, v'lo Adas B'nei Yisrael. So what the next step is, like, so what was Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron? Did they misunderstand? And that's why they answer Yishechad Yechto or whatever. He says to Rabbeinu Chananel that they misunderstood. And he says, V'chalila, says the Ramban, Shal Yavin Moshe Nevoasai V'yiteba. I mean, whoever heard that Ibn Shalom should give a message and Moshe should misunderstand the message. Aval Hatam, Ki Mitchilo Hayalefa Om Achrei Moshe V'Aaron. Oz Korach Korach L'chol Eidah V'Amalahem כי לחובת כולם הוא מקנה, ויתב הדוב ביניהם וניקל כולם לירוס, אולי ישה בין אלוקים, ותושו ועבודו לבחוריהם, וזה טעם, ויקל להם כורח אז כל העדו, והנה נסחי וקליו שהיו מהרים אחרי רבו, והם כמהרים אחרי השכינו, ומבטרים על נבוא הסנובי בליבם, וחיוב ומיסה בידי שמיים. ומשה וארן למדו עליהם זכות שלא יחותם במייסה אלו כורח, because even though they had in their hearts certain thoughts and ideas, which they were misled by Korach Vadoso, to think that maybe it is a good idea that the Bechorim should have the Avoda, and not just Shevet Levi and Aaron and his descendants. So the thought itself was Goreim that they should be Chayav Misa, Bidei Shamayim. And that's what Moshe and Aaron were pleading, because they didn't do a Maisa and they didn't instigate anything. They were just hapless victims of an idea that crept into their heads. But even though it was in their heads, they never followed up on it. And Memele, they don't really deserve to be killed. וזה דרך מבקשי רחמים שיקלו החטא מעל העם ונויסן נויסי על היוחיד הגורי מפני שהוא חייב על כל פונים וכן אומר דוד הנה אונויכי חוטוסי ואונויכי האבסי ואלה הצון מאוסו תהינו יוד חבי ובבייס אובי והויו העונש ההוא על העם גם בחטם right? שהויו להם לסייס השקולים מעצמם אם העונש הוא על זה כדברי רבוסינו כי לא ציבו על סם המלך שלא ייתנו השקולים He says that if you follow the opinion of the Chachomim, the issue there in the Magefa that was supposed to be in the time of David was because when he counted them, they didn't count them indirectly. But really, the original intention was v'chulu v'chulu. But he says, personally, I believe that that was not the svara behind their onesh. You know, it wasn't a matter of a magefa for counting, you know, the whole machzis hashekel zayitnu kol oiver apkudim, that the counting should be indirect. That's why we say, in the minyan of people for a minyan, we count their yarmulkes, or we count their shoes, or we say psukim, or we say not one, not two. There are many different ways of not counting. Counting directly is a bad omen. All right, but the Ramban says he has a different havona. And this is where our journey begins in the Ramban. Al Reka, what we said, the Ramban is a revolution, because this is what the Ramban says. And I think the reason it's not so prominent is because it's buried, as it were, in the middle of Parshas Korach, as kind of a raya to his discussion with the Rabbeinu Chananel in the background, as to who the Eda is, and who is Hashem upset with, and what is going on exactly. So having said that there's a certain shemetz of responsibility on the Klal Yisrael for having thought that the Avoda should in fact go back to the Bechorim, they had that Negia, and Belibam, they had that Hirhur against Moshe and Aaron, and ultimately against Hashem. So really they were Chayev Misa Bidei Shamayim. And Moshe and Aaron, when they were pleading, Ha'ish Echad Yechata, it means they're also Chotei B'nai Yisrael perhaps, but not in any way as extreme as the instigator who actually did a Maisa. And Memela, let it be enough that the Tzaris fall on the head of Korach Vahadoso and leave B'nai Yisrael alone. That was the plea. So the Ramban is saying, where do you find an example, B'doy Milozeh, where even if they are guilty, the leader says, let the Ribbono Shel'Olam's wrath be specific on the most guilty parties and not be so general as to take in everybody that has some shemetz of responsibility. So he says, David HaMelech, that David HaMelech said, let it fall on me and my house, and not the tzon Asheli, not the sheep, not the flock of Klal Yisrael. He was doing exactly that. Maybe they were guilty, but they're not as guilty, and Memela, leave them alone. What could they have been guilty of? So the Ramban is Mechadish, you know what they were guilty of? They didn't build a Beis HaMikdash on their own. Pilei ploy. V'ani oimer b'derech svara, shehoyo onesh al Yisrael, b'his acher binyan Beis HaBchira, shehoyo ho'oron holeich me'ohel o'ohel k'ger ba'aretz. He says, imagine you have somebody that's very choshuv, a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham, a big gaon, and a person that's kulo omer kavod, and he knocks on door after door and nobody lets him in, and he has to wander and spend his days in one beis medrash sleeping on a hard bench and then another. It's pathetic, and it also shows a tremendous lack of kavod talmidei chachamim and kavod haTorah. So he says you have an orin. The orin has to have a bias, and you let the orin wander from place to place as if it's a ger ba'aretz. Says, how could that be? The ein hashvatim misorim lemar nidrosh es Hashem v'nivna habayis lishmo. Of course, which pasuk is he paraphrasing? L'shichno sidrishu uvasa shama. Ad shenis ore David ledover miyamim rabim ma'ulizman aroch. Many, many centuries of wandering for the Aron, and finally David HaMelech is aroused to do something. And he says, Vayhi ki yashav HaMelech v'beisuv Hashem iniach lo misaviv mikol oivav, vayoyma HaMelech al nosan anovi, anoichi yoshev b'beis arozim, v'aroin ha'elekim yoshev b'soich ha'yiriyah. Now, the Ramban has a very interesting style. Instead of saying v'yesh lishol, like v'im taimah, v'yesh laimah, like Tosfos is lashon, he anticipates a problem and provides most of the time the refuah before the makom. So he says, I know what you're going to ask me. How do you expect Bnei Yisrael to build the Beis HaMikdash when Hashem tells David HaMelech explicitly, not you, but Shlomo? So what do you want from the people? Hashem said no. So he's going to ask this question and give the teretz. This is how he says it. V'hine, David mino Hashem Yisbarach, mipnei she'omar ki domim rabim shafachto arzo lefonai. That's a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. V'nisacher od habinyon ad meloch Shlomo. So you see, he doesn't say v'im tomar or spell out the question, but he's already giving the teretz. That's the style of the Ramban. V'ilu hoyu Yisrael chafetzim bedavar, v'nisoru bo mitchila, hoyonase bimei echad mei hashoftim o bimei shol. O gam bimei David. At least bimei David, and that's when the Magefa was taking place, where David HaMelech tainis achos with the Ribbono Shel'olam, that's the Magefas in the time of David. And David, he said no. So he says that's because he's talking to David, because David was the only one that had the idea. But that's because David has a unique problem to David. And the binyan does not have to be done by the Melech, it can be done by Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if Bnei Yisrael in the time of David, even in the time of David, would have been this order that they should build and push to build a Beis HaMikdash, never mind David's specific problem, that's only when David has the idea, so he can't build, because it's called Binyan David. But if the Shvatim had the idea, then it's not called Binyan David. They don't have the problem of Dam L'Rav Shafachta. So they could have built. So the Ramban is piling on Chidush Nifla and Chidush Nifla. Not only, as he said a line ago, that the Shvatim could have built it in the time of the Shoiftim. Wait a minute. The time of the Shoiftim is before the Zeminui Melech. The time of the Shol is before Mechia Zarov Shalom Olek. And afterwards, you'll say in the time of Shol, after Mechia Zarov Shalom Olek. So why didn't the Ramban at least mention that Seder? It seems that he dispenses with the Seder altogether. The Ramban says very simply, from the moment that they walked into Eretz Yisrael, they should have built a bayis permanently for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course that asks another tremendous question. Where in the world should they build it? In Gilgal? In Neivegivai? In Shiloh? And they're not told where to build. So what do you want from them? So besides the sequence missing, the nevuah is missing. So it says, L'shichnoi sidrishu, he insists, they should have asked the Navi right away. Where exactly is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to build it, because we don't know? And Hashem would have said, it's the Garden of Arad Na'yavusi. Not through Nosan HaNavi or whatever, but through the first Navi, through the first Shofet, through Yeshua himself. Do a plot. And maybe Yoshua, you need Kipshu v'chilku, so he leaves Yoshua out of the picture. But the Shaiftim, Shimshin, Devaira, Ehud ben Gera, whatever, makes no difference. Pilei ployim. Again, ki im shivte Yisrael hayu misorim b'davar lo haya habone hu, meaning David, avu Yisrael heim hayu habonim, avu kal shekol ha'am lo yishkichu, since the people themselves did not concern themselves, and that's the chapela otzum in and of its own right. You have a leader like David. You're talking about David HaMelech. You have a leader like David, and you have to concern yourself about Binyan Beis HaMikdash? It doesn't even make sense on the surface. So the Ramban is so empowering the Klal Yisrael,
that he's telling you that even with David HaMelech, you should not, you, Chaim Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel, in every shtibel, and in every town, and in every village, wherever there's somebody that has any sense of the Ribbono Shel'olam and the Aron, wandering from place to place, should have made a big macha, and asked his Rav to write to his senator, so to speak, and we have to have a Beis HaMikdash. That's it. It's a campaign. And the Ramban indirectly also explains to us in a few brief words what's wrong with Dom Larov Shafachta. It wasn't as if he is killing people indiscriminately, and that he's a wild murderer. So you could say, your hands are not shayach to building a Beis HaMikdash. He's a Melech Yisrael. So the Ramban says, because when you go be'ikar with Midas HaMishpat and Midas HaDin, you cannot build a bias whose essence is Midas HaRachamim. V'al kein nisach ha'binyan kol yimei David b'pshiyas Yisrael. You hear him, Isa? He says, if you're going to ask, is it a good thing that Shlomo HaMelech ended up building it? So everybody would say, listen, that's what Hashem wants. Because he told David HaMelech, not you. Says the Ramban, absolutely wrong. It's not a good thing at all, and that's not what Hashem wanted. All Hashem is saying that not David. But he doesn't want that the people should sit idly by, and his Aron should be Mizgalgal Kiger Baretz. He wants that everybody should be mishtatev, and everybody should have the initiative, and they should be fighting for the privilege, and that the Beis HaMikdash willy-nilly would be built in David HaMelech's time at least. And in any case, even before that, it should have happened. So they're guilty. Valkein hoya haketzef aleihem. If you want to know why is there a kpeda to such an extent that a magefa is threatened, that David HaMelech has to plead for them, that is the reason. And he says, don't think that the posuk doesn't have a remez to it. Valkein hoya hamokom asher yivcha Hashem lo shum shmo shom noda ba'onsham u'b'magefasam. The place is revealed in the context of the punishment of Klal Yisrael in a magefa to them. Ba'akosuv yirmos kol zeh. And the psukim in Shmuel are meramez to this very point that I made. That is their guilt in not building the Beis HaMikdash on their own. Shenemar ki lo yoshavti babayis l'miyom ha'alosi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim v'ad hayoyim hazeh. V'ayem is halich b'chol asher hishalachti b'chol b'nei Yisrael ha'dovar dibarti es achad shifte Yisrael shatzivisi liros es ami es Yisrael leimor lomo lo b'nisem li Beis HaRozim. The Ramban taines that Hashem himself is telling Bnei Yisrael that they messed up, that he's asking them, all that time that I wandered and wandered and wandered, why did you not rebuild for me a permanent home? Hare ya'ashim ha'kosuv, the kosuv ma'ashim, from the word oshem, he makes them guilty, he accuses them, and finds them guilty. Ki ha'echina mishaleches b'chol Yisrael, mei oihel el oihel, umi mishkon el mishkon. Lo hoya echod b'chol shofete Yisrael. The shofet haroim osam, who are their shepherds, their leaders. Misore b'davar. There's that one who thought for a moment to do something about it. The Omer HaKosuv od ki gam Hashem richak mehem. Lo diber leechod mikulam livnos habayis. Rak ato shenisorarto hativoso ki hoya im levavecha. But tzava ato livnoso al yidei shlomo bincha. In his classical manner, the Ramban asks a question and gives a teretz without telling you that he's asking a question. So you have to be very wary of the Ramban and the way he writes, because he's extremely subtle. And the Ramban has like this cursive style. He just talks and talks and explains things to you, but you don't realize the strength of the question most of the time, and sometimes you don't even know that he's giving a teretz. That's very, very hard. The Ramban in Chumash, in the latter of Rambans, is in between. The easiest Rambans, as I told you, is when in the drushes of the Ramban, because he wrote them for the Hamon Ham, drusha l'Rosh Hashanah, drusha on Koheles, and so on. The hardest Rambans are the Rambans in the Chidushim. Chidushim on Gemara. And next to that is the Machamas. Even harder than the Machamas, I think, are the Chidushim. And I'll tell you why. Because the Ramban was speaking to to Gedolei Yisrael. And to them, a rem is here and a rem is there. And of course they understand it, because the questions they had already and the terutzim, they're in the groove. Now we are trying to compete with those people and comprehend the Ramban, the Chidushim and the Mochamis, and it's not so easy. I told you many times that the Rav gave a shir on the Ramban and the Mochamis, and he told this Rabbi Lerner, so he should be well. So Rabbi Lerner, I gave a shir today, and if you ask the Talmidim, what did we do today? So most of them will make with their nose, and they'll say, not much, we learned the Mochamis. And I tell you, Rabbi Lerner, that it's one of the best shirim I ever gave. I made sense of the Mochamis. He said it in Yiddish. In Yiddish, it's even more. Ich sage ein Chavlerda. Because in Yiddish, he didn't have an accent. In English, he had a very heavy accent. So no matter what, it sounded like a foreigner, like he had a phenomenal vocabulary, phenomenal, and he spoke English very well. But it was a studied English, it was a learned and acquired language, and it was not the same. But Yiddish was Mamish's, he breathed Yiddish. So that comes out even stronger. But that's Mochamis. But when it comes to the Pirush on Chumash, you see, well, Chumash, that's for the Hamonam. First of all, you see, it's not for the Hamonam. You know how I know? Because there's a lot of Kabbalah in it. And even though the Ramban himself says in the Hagdama to the Ramban, that if you don't have a Masorah in Kabbalah, forget about what I wrote. It's not for you. Mashma, that the rest of it is for you. That doesn't mean that half of what I wrote is for simple people, and the other half is for the esoteric, those who are learned in the esoteric knowledge of Hashem. That's not what he means. He means, in learning, of course you have a Masorah, because Torah Shebe'al Peh, generally, you have a Rebbe and a Talmud, and a Rebbe and a Talmud. If you don't have that, you probably won't even be able to read what I wrote. But if you read it, that means you had a Rebbe. But a Rebbe in Nistar? Not everybody has a Rebbe in Nistar. Most people don't. So that's why he was machalik between the two. But he's still talking to B'nai HaYeshiva. And Memela, it's not that pashut. But the Ramban here, as I told you, asked the question and gave a teretz. He wants to understand something. If there's an inyan, as he insists, with such strength, that you should have been Misorah Klal Yisrael, all the Shvatim, Shiftei Ka, from the very beginning, Miyoy Maloysam, because Hashem should not be a mishalich, like a wandering beggar. Yeah? So then how come Hashem never said a word to any of the Shoftim about it, and to any of the Nevi'im about it, and to Shmuel about it? I mean, after all. So you know what he answers? He says, because without, to use my words, without an Isarusa de Lasata, Hashem's not interested. In other words, it's like somebody who's Lahavdil. A person is wandering, a big Talmud Chacham, from place to place, and for several months, and every night is sleeping in another Beis Medrash. And one day, some Chashev Yid comes over to him, and he says to him, you know something? It's a terrible thing what we're doing to you. I want you to know, Chatosi Avisi Pashaiti, I want you to come to my house, I'll give you my bedroom, I'll sleep on the floor, I don't care. I'm going to be mechabed you, betachlis hakibud. Oy vavoy, what we did to you. So then you say, you know something? I think that's a great idea, because lemaisa, there's an inyan of kavod talmidei chachamim. So then he asks him, tell me something. Why didn't you mention anything about kavod talmidei chachamim all those months that you were wandering from place to place? He says, I'm mechuyev to mention kavod talmidei chachamim? A person doesn't have enough seichel in his head that a choshev or a sheshiva, a big talmud chacham, somebody that's kula oimer kovod, you invite him into your house as a natural consequence of your avas ator and avas Hashem. I said, I should be the one to be marit. It's a chutzpah. That's exactly what the Ramban is saying. Maybe not so melodramatically, but that's what he's saying. This is his lashon. He says, Ha'oma ha'kosuv oid, ki gam Hashem rochak mehem, v'lo diber le'echod mikulam livnos habayis. Rak Ata, Shenisorarta, now that David HaMelech invited Hashem, now he says, oh, now I'm going to tell you the whole story. Hativosa kasher hayam ulvavecha, because I've been wandering for years and years. It's a meiridika Ramban. It's an unbelievably astonishing Ramban. I mean, we should be jumping up, I don't know, for joy or what, because it's ma'ira, tremendous questions. What happened to the Rambam? So you'll say there's a machloikus between the Ramban and the Rambam, that the Rambam says they need a sequence, and the Ramban says you don't need the sequence. It's a tremendous chiddush. In the Al-Rekha this, I just want to finish with the Ramban on L'shichno Sidrishu. Because there's a Ramban there also. So the Ramban on L'shichno Sidrishu was Hashem. Says as follows. Batam L'shichno Sidrishu. Shetelchu me'eretz merchakim v'tishalu Ona derech beis Hashem. Now, what I find remarkable about this Ramban is that it seems that the Ramban was oblivious, as it were, to his own Torah. Because the Ramban was even merames in his Lashon in Parshas Korach that I read to you a while ago, at the beginning of that Ramban's piece, which was in the middle of that piece, but at the beginning of the piece that's Nogea to us, that the reason there was a Magefa threatened was because the Ribbon Shel Olam was unhappy with them that they didn't build the Beis HaMikdash yet. So he says they should have been Doiresh for the Shechina. So what does the Shechina Sidra Shul L'Chayra mean? That from the moment that you come into Eretz Yisrael, you should seek out the possibility of building a Beis HaMikdash. Seek out the Shechina means build a Beis HaMikdash and get it over with and have your makom. And don't let me wander around from place to place like an itinerant beggar. But when the Ramban comes to the words L'Shechna Sidra Shul, he projects the whole thing La'asid Lava, which I found to be fascinating. And L'Shechna Sidra Shul is a tzav that has to do with a world view, bar none. The whole world is Doresh Es Hashechina. And for that purpose, he quotes the famous psukim in Yeshayahu, because the pasuk says Ki mitzion teitzei sora udvar Hashem Yerushalayim, and of course that pasuk could mean easily that the dvar Hashem Yerushalayim is because the Sanhedrin shall shivim v'yechad, that is the ultimate arbiter of halacha and koveya the takonis of chachomim and the interpreters, as the Rambam says of Ilchus Mamrim of Torah Shabal Peh, they are the Sanhedrin shabal lishkas hagozis, and we said in Eilam Mishpatim Eilam Hashabatot Lifneihem Shetei Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach Loma Nismacha Pashas Mizbeach LePashas Mishpat Shetei Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach. So if Shetei Sanhedrin Eitzel HaMizbeach, then you have to have Kibitzion Teitzei Sora. That's where it comes from. Because otherwise, the question is, Torah was never connected uniquely to Tzion. But if it's Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin shall shiv v'yachad is belishka sakozis, we understand it. But that's not really the pshat of the pasuk. Because the pshat of the pasuk is, of course, they'll come to the Sanhedrin, but it means not because Sanhedrin happens to be there, but Torah is everywhere else. It means there will be a focus, like a magnetic force for the whole world, that's pulling everybody to come to Yerushalayim. Because Yerushalayim will be the center of the knowledge of Hashem. And from there will emanate knowledge to the entire universe. Every human being on earth, wherever he is, in darkest Africa or in the middle of the Australian plains, it makes no difference, or in the heart of the Brazil's forests, every human being will come and seek out Hashem in Yerushalayim. And that's what the Ramban says for the pasuk in Yeshayahu. And by the way, I always interpreted that when it says Beis Elokei Yaakov, Chazal say Loka Avram Shekro Har, Veloki Yitzchok Shekosubo Soda, Elokei Yaakov Koro Lo Bayis, Ein Zekiim Beis Elokim, Luchu V'Nal Al Harashem Ke Beis Elokei Yaakov. What is it? So I said, it's very pashut. If it would be the Har HaMoriah, if that's the definition of Beis HaMikdash, then you could be Al-Quds, HaKodesh. The Arabs call it HaKodesh. We call it something else, but the Arabs call it HaKodesh. It's pretty amazing. Al-Quds. But why could it be Al-Quds? Because Yishmaelim. We're also descendants of Avram. What are you such big Yachsonim? You come from Yitzchak? We come from Yishmael. What if it would be Beis Yitzchak? So then the Bnei Esav say, we also have a Sheikhus to this place. But if it's Beis Elokei Yaakov, if all the Goyim recognize and identify it by calling it Beis Elokei Yaakov, that is itself inherent proof that they give us the Mishpat HaBechayra, and it's our place. And we are going there because it's your place. And we ourselves have no Yerusha in any of this. And we are seeking you, Bnei Yisrael, out to be our teachers and our guides. I always point out that the Rambam says that the Garza Avim Keves is not to be taken literal, because he holds Ein Bein Art Kufa and Yemos HaMashiach El Shibud Malchios Bilvad. So what is the Garza Avim Keves? It's a mashal. Everything will be tranquil. Everybody will be at peace. Everybody will have as much money as they could possibly want. Jewels will be like the dust of the earth. There'll be no competition. And all the other things the Rambam says in Hilchos Malachim about Yemos HaMashiach. So many people have said that that is a greater Shinui HaTeva than Ze'ev living with a Keves. And in fact, it's very interesting. Today, we can genetically program a Ze'ev to be afraid of a Keves, if we want to. But go fight the Arabs, you know? Convince them that they should come to Yerushalayim. That's almost inconceivable. But what the Rambam means is that this, without manipulating their genes and artificially interrupting them, or interfering with them, the Ze'ev and the Keves are natural enemies. Amongst human beings, they're not natural enemies. They're not genetic enemies. There's no instinct. Even though it says Halacha, Esav son of Yaakov, but even that Halacha has a Shinui Limos HaMashiach, because it all comes from jealousy and from sinna and from frustration. Almost all of them, when they wise up, they'll become our best friends. Like the Chazal say, even now, if they knew how beneficial it was for the Goyim to have a Beis HaMikdash for Yisrael, then they would be the first ones to protect it instead of destroying it. The trouble is that they don't understand. So when they finally understand, everyone will come to Yerushalayim. And that is the Lishichna Sidrashu of the Ramban. The Ramban says, Shetelchu me'eretz merchakim, v'tishalu, ono derech Beis Hashem, v'tomru ishal re'eyu, v'chu v'nal el har Hashem el Beis Elokei Yaakov. So he says, u'besifri dorshu droish al pi anovi, yochol tamtin ad sheyoyim alocha anovi, talmud loyim alashichno sidrushu uvasa shoma, drosh u'mitsa, v'achar kach yoyim alocha anovi, v'chein atomoytsi b'dovid. So it's fascinating that if you don't know what he's saying in Parshas Korach, you don't even appreciate what he's saying here. But what he's saying here, he quotes a Sifri, and he doesn't say another word, as if that's a second pshat. And the main pshat, the world will come, or Bnei Yisrael, all of them will come, and seek out Hashem's knowledge, the Shichno Sidrashu. That's Yeshayahu Perek Beis. But what does he say now in the second pshat, in the Sifri's pshat? That before you know where it is, how are you going to build a Beis HaMikdash? He answers that kasha that I asked. He says, Eino chanami, you're going to need a Navi. But you have to ask first. The Shichno Sidrashu, he says, Drosh al pi Navi, Yochel tamtin at Shiyom alocha Navi. Talmud lama the Shichno Sidrashu, Droshu mitzah, Vachar kach yom alocha Navi. Unbelievable.